Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. It is the last Friday of the month, and joining us in studio today is David Disty for another edition of Heart to Heart. David, it's good to see you once again. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Good to be back.
Yes, great to have you here again with Disty Counseling Services. And well, it's always great to have different topics to have and, well, just discuss and just deal with all the challenges of just real life. And I think that's what, well, we just heard before we came on air, just that ad that you have running on our station that talks about how for counseling, for a lot of people, I think there still is that misconception out there that something has to be wrong with you if you need to see a counselor. There's such that perception, I think, that exists, and stigma, if you will, when in reality, you know, counseling, no, it's not so much that at all. It's for everyday people whose world is going crazy on them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not about there's something wrong with you if you have the desire to go to counseling or think counseling would be helpful for you. We're social creatures. We need to be with other people. We need other people to help us grow as iron sharpens iron. And so counseling is just one specific way to do that. So yeah, some people say, well, how do I know when I should go to counseling? And kind of the question is, well, have you, the other things that you've been trying, have they been working? If not, then try something new. And counseling can be one of those things. So question is, often people talk about, the pain of changing versus the pain of staying the same. So if, the staying the way you are, if that's causing too much pain, then it's time to look for a way to change and go through that uncomfortable process.
Absolutely. Now, this time of year, boy, talk about people's worlds going crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very busy time of year.
Yeah, the holidays are for so many different reasons. And I mean, that's perfectly leads us into, well, today, just in general, of holiday stress. Oh, boy, it shows up and rears its head. And the reason why, well, it can vary. And for many, it's multiple things that just make it all the more stressful.
Yeah, there are tons of different things that make it stressful. And sometimes we're aware of them. Sometimes we just go through focused on the things that we're trying to do, and we don't pay attention to what's behind the scenes, what's causing the stress. And so, yeah, being aware of the different things that are causing stress can be a big piece of being able to deal with it better.
Well, and also what potentially might be an indicator for some that need to reach out and get that added help is that they think, okay, it's just the holidays, right? But then sometimes when it can linger into January or February, or and things just aren't slowing down. Hey, I mean, there's some sign there that, hey, maybe this wasn't just the holidays either.
Yeah. And so as far as going to counseling, counseling can help in dealing with it's just the holidays, having a place to kind of slow down and think about things differently and have some tools ready for when you do go to that Christmas event or something like that. But yeah, if the same things that you are blaming on stress linger through January, February, March, or you're seeing the same cycle every year that, you know what, every December I get like this, then maybe it's time to figure out a different way to deal with it.
I guess some things like a trigger in some cases, I know finances for stress, that's one thing we can start things off with. How am I going to be able to get through this month?
Yeah, so many people stress about finances, that I have to be able to buy this and do that. And when we're living paycheck to paycheck through the rest of the year, then we're putting so much more more stress on ourselves this time of year, too.
Now, in that way, as a counselor, I know you're not necessarily, like, say, a financial coach in that, well, hey, what about we're putting money away throughout the year? Is that something you're offering, or are you kind of approaching it differently in terms of the advice you give to people?
I approach it differently. In working with couples, there's what we call solvable problems and perpetual problems. Perpetual problems are ones that we go through again and again and again, and it seems like no matter how we go about it, we don't figure out or come to a solution to this problem. And finances is one of those common ones. And so with these perpetual problems, what I do is I look at what's behind the issue. So rather than arguing about a spreadsheet or the budget, let's figure out what's going on behind the scenes regarding finances in this example. So it's things like, what does money mean to you? And what does money mean to your partner? And why is there that disconnect in communication? So one partner might be seeing money as something to be enjoyed. I have this money, I'm going to spend it. And the other partner is seeing it as a source of security, that I need to have this buffer to know that things are going to be taken care of. And so if you're dealing with money from these two different perspectives, then of course there's going to be a lot of conflict about it. Of course there's going to be stress. The one partner that sees money as a thing to be given away is going to want to buy a lot more Christmas presents. And the person who sees money as a source of security might be thinking, no, we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. You're putting us in trouble for January, February, and March.
Well, and the counselor in that way can just act as that vehicle to get the conversation going a lot of ways, too. Oftentimes, that's what is missing the most, is just having that open line of communication, making sure in some ways that, hey, let's stay on topic here in terms of some things too, because I know that can sometimes be the most important thing, is just the communication really needs to be there. And I mean, sometimes there can be disagreement that can still be present, but at least, you know, it's out there in some ways.
Because disagreement's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's, I guess, letting the argument repeat itself without actually getting anywhere.
And it repeats itself when we're not really listening to each other, when the communication is more about, I'm going to make you see things my way, then this fight is going to keep on going around and around and around. But when we communicate about this topic or any topic, and our focus is really on learning to understand the other person and to show them that you understand, so by things like paraphrasing what they're saying and that kind of thing, the act of listening, that's where it changes from a fight about finances to really an exploration of each other. And that builds intimacy rather than killing it. So when we have these fights, sometimes it's killing intimacy and we don't want to be around each other. But when this whole conversation about finances or anything else is about understanding and really understanding, learning the interior world of your partner, then that builds a great relationship.
Well, and the differences may still remain, but if at some point we can reach that compromise in some way where, someone can have a little bit of their way, the other can have a little bit of it in their way as well. It's not saying one has to be completely 100% all the way in on it and the other person just has to deal with it.
No. If one person is just, I have to deal with it, then that's not going to be a great situation. But I like getting to a spot where the couples not only understand where the other person is coming from, so like finances, if one person is seeing this as a source of fun and one seeing it as a source of security, if they begin to try and achieve each other's goals. So if the person who sees money as a source of fun begins to, their primary goal becomes, you know what, I want my spouse to feel secure. That changes the dynamics in a big way. And if the other partner is saying, you know what, I want to find a way to get to a place where I can help my spouse feel fun and carefree. That's huge. If you're not just defending your position, but trying to help the other person achieve what they need.
And I think this is ultimately what the whole entire world is missing. This can go so much more beyond the scope of, say, even holiday stress.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at maybe some of the arguing or the debate or just that goes on through social media when you get people talking about politics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible how people are just screaming at each other without even really getting a chance to slow it down. Hey, let's look at, this is why I think this is a way of looking at things. While the other is just so busy worrying about, screaming their side that they're not actually using what's in between our ears, but rather the ears themselves. Need to be using those to really get a grasp before we can accomplish anything.
Yeah. And these principles for good communication, for working well together, it's not just about a one-on-one relationship. It's about community. It's about national politics, international relations. Every level of interaction can benefit from this kind of an approach.
Yeah. I know in terms of, too, with couples as well, or just even families, there's such a stress that can sometimes unfold with how are we going to deal with the visitors, the added things on the calendar, fitting in, making sure everyone gets visited over the holidays and things like that too. That in itself can also create a lot of, stresses and pressures on anyone for that matter.
Yeah, and we put so much on ourselves that, you know what, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do everything. And of course there's going to be stress when we're trying to do what's impossible. We'd need to clone ourselves a few times to make all these things happen. So I think it's really important to be able to prioritize, you know what, we're not going to be able to meet with everyone. So who are we going to meet with, and how can we connect with the other people throughout the year so that's not a huge loss? Not to say that these other people aren't important, that you don't want to meet with them, but to meet with them other times or to connect with them in other ways. So I remember, like, whenever my family's out in BC and my wife's family's out in Ontario, whenever we go either direction, it's like, well, we want to meet with everybody, but it's not physically possible. So focus on who we can meet with and enjoy those visits rather than rushing off to have 20 minutes with the next person.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All you ever wanted to know, it's a heart-to-heart today with David Disty, recognizing holidays, yes, they sure can be stressful, but working on how we can get through them and just trying to make it all work, and we can all come out of here as best we can and still feeling as good as we can mentally, physically, and spiritually as well in a lot of ways. We'll continue our chat today on Heart to Heart when we come back after this. Back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, it's Heart to Heart with David Disty on the last Friday of the month, and talking about the holiday season and sometimes the stress that can unravel as a result. And hopefully people aren't running away just because we're talking about it, and that it's not causing stress in itself. But they're obviously, if even just the mention of it can cause, you know, just even feelings of anxiety, perhaps something like seeing a counselor would be of use to someone. David, again, with Disty Counseling Service, if people want to maybe set up an appointment or something like that with yourself, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can give me a call at 316-0101 or email me at ddisty@gmail.com. That's ddyste@gmail.com.
All right. Well, I guess in terms of other areas that stress can come about, what do you sometimes you see that people are looking for maybe a bit of help? I know you mentioned a bit before, sometimes it's just mental anxiety over something like a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Sometimes create a lot of just feelings of nervousness and stress for some.
Yeah, so some people feel a lot of anxiety about going to a social situation or seeing the coworkers that they don't want to see, or there can be a lot of stress for a lot of anxiety going to a Christmas party for a lot of different reasons. Or sometimes, you know what, there's two things on the same date. I can't go to both. I'm going to make somebody mad at me. So really, I think with couples, it's important to see each other as allies instead of adversaries. So often we see each other as, oh, I got to fight this person to get what I want. But if we can see them as, you know what, this person does have my best interest at heart and we're going to work through this together, then that can bring down the stress a lot. And you know what, it gives us a bit of freedom to say, well, I don't have to go to this thing because it's going to be really good for my partner or the rest of my family if I go to this thing instead. So choosing can be a little bit easier if we see each other as an ally, as a teammate. So that shift in perspective goes a long ways. And then as far as the anxiety about going to a Christmas party, that anxiety can be there for a lot of different ways. So we've talked about anxiety in the past, and a lot of the same things that you talk about anxiety for all sorts of different situations apply is here. So being able to notice, well, what am I thinking and how is that thinking maybe getting me in trouble? So maybe I'm thinking that, oh man, I know what, I'm going to make a fool of myself. Well, just a second. Let's challenge that. Do you know that you're going to make a fool of yourself? Are you psychic? If you're not psychic, then why do you assume that you will make a fool of yourself or whatever it might be? So being able to notice the thoughts that are causing or are contributing to the anxiety and challenging those thoughts can go a huge way.
Now, what if you are psychic? No, just kidding. Just kidding. I know, too, sometimes it's just the anxiety that, oh, man, everyone's coming with their significant other. Here I am. I don't have one. I'm not speaking on myself personally, but just even for those that sometimes they feel that stress, it's like, oh, man, everyone has someone to, here I am not. Well, just something as simple as checking with an employer in terms of, hey, you know, I don't have a plus one per se in terms of a significant other. Can I bring a friend? Can I do something along those lines? Is that acceptable?
Yeah,
or like that.
Going by yourself too. So then if you have people that at work that you do enjoy hanging out with in the break room, then, well, you can focus on, I'm not just going there and I'm going to be alone, but you know what? there's people that I enjoy being with. And if you're at a job that you don't enjoy being with those people, then maybe there's a career change for you.
One says you have to go.
Yeah, absolutely. No one says you have to go to that.
Yes, they are, again, maybe you're considering something else.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of different things that we can do as far as scheduling goes. That's a big piece of it, to say, you know what, I don't need to be everywhere. What are people going to think if I don't show up to an event? Well, if they're important people to me, then they'll probably understand. And if they don't understand, then maybe they're not people whose opinion I need to really value so much.
Mm. See, and that's what's I've found so interesting, and I'm not embarrassed to admit, like, I've come to you in terms of counseling as well with different things that have gone on in my own life. And I think sometimes the misconception maybe for some people is that they'll come and you're going to have magically the right thing that will maybe like make it better. You often are ready to say, hey, here are some things that you now have to do, like basically a challenge in some ways.
Yeah.
It's common that it's a little bit of both, that, yep, your words are there to be of help and of guidance. But often it really does come back to, well, here's something that I need you to take away and try.
Yeah. If you don't make changes in the rest of your life, then coming to counseling isn't going to make all the difference in the world. Yeah, there's a lot that you need to take home with you and do throughout the week.
Yeah, and even often, if the frustration may be there with someone in your life, it's not so much what you have to get them to do, but what you can do to sometimes just deal.
Yeah, to see things differently, to change your perspective, that's a huge part of the process, is changing your perspective on any situation.
Yeah, and whether it's a coworker that, oh, I really don't want to have to deal with them, maybe it's that family visit where, oh man, this family member is going to give me such a hard time, or they're going to make me do this. Again, it's about those kinds of pieces of advice that then you can provide to people that say, well, hey, what about if we try this? It's not completely about, you know, just not go kind of thing. You don't want to just isolate yourself in that way. But hey, maybe here's a way how we can approach something, a situation.
Yeah, a different idea, a different way to approach it is a big piece. And being able to, in counseling, sometimes some of the change comes from just hearing things told in a different light or explained in a different light, so you can change that, the way that you see things or see yourself.
Yeah.
That can be a big piece of it.
And again, that communication too, just being open and honest, so just being able to express feelings. If the crowds are something that typically makes someone anxious or nervous, well, take those little bit of moments where, you know, you put yourself out there, but then, you know, kind of go in like flows, if you will, you know, put yourself in there, but if you need a break, step back kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing, to be able to have an exit strategy in mind, that, you know what, I'm going into this anxiety provoking situation, and what am I going to do if the anxiety becomes too much? Well, you know what, I'm going to sit at this table so that I know that I'm close to the door, I can get some fresh air if I need to. Or, you know what, sometimes people are concerned about, what if someone asks me this question or talks to me in this way? So to be able to have maybe some canned prepared responses that, you know what, well, things are going on, or whatever you want that canned response to be, so you know that if this happens, then I've got this that I can do. So you're not left thinking, I'm going to be kind of winging it. You don't want to be winging it when you go into that situation. You want to kind of have some ready responses.
And again, just more and more, here we are in 2018. I think thanks to different efforts just to help people with anxiety or just even, you know, struggling with different issues surrounding mental health. The more we're talking about it, I find the more people are becoming now understanding of certain things. I know for myself, sometimes, particularly at a Christmas meal, a Thanksgiving meal, there's like maybe 5 or 6 different conversations going on. And I know for myself, I'm trying to kind of pinpoint, okay, what's going on? And sometimes for me, it's almost puts me in a state of like dizziness in some ways, where it's
our
like, okay,
brain is trying to figure out all these things at once, and we can't.
All right. So sometimes it's just, I knew I had to like, okay, need to get up, need to just go take a couple minutes for myself kind of thing, try and collect myself, come back, maybe apologize. And depending on the group, you know, you can explain yourself if you feel like you want to, because like I say, I think sometimes people are, you know, a little bit more maybe understanding now instead of going, oh, that's weird. No, I think more and more we're getting better at not just saying, you know, that's weird. Just like, oh, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if someone just wants to be quiet about it. You know,
yeah, you can explain as totally much or as little as you want. You don't have to. The other people don't need an explanation from you. You don't owe them an explanation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to explain what's going on, if you want to explain the anxiety, go for it. If you don't, just say, no, I got to take a break.
Yeah.
Going out somewhere.
Speaking of taking a break, we'll take another here on All You Ever Wanted to Know. But again, Heart to Heart with David Distie. We invite your calls. If you would like to call in, 306-783-5160 or toll free 1-855-449-5160. Holiday stress, it comes in many different forms. And talking about some of the ways that we can deal with it, live with it, work through it ultimately, and a whole lot more still to come on Heart to Heart, All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Back here on The Rock, it's All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Distie. Holiday stress, boy, it certainly can add up and feel like it's too much. And like we said, David, honestly, sometimes just making sure people take time for themselves when there's so much demand on maybe you as a person to, okay, got to get this done.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when am I going to be able to take care of myself?
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, and any time that we have time off or vacation or holiday, we need to be able to use that to take care of ourselves. But there's so much going on that how does that happen? So we talked about scheduling earlier and how we need to be okay to cut things out. And sometimes we need to cut out extra stuff because we need just that time to calm and relax.
Right.
So family traditions is a great way to do that, to say, you know what, we're making a family tradition to do this every year. So my wife and I, we actually did that. We said, you know what, everybody's been asking us for a lot of different stuff, and we're carving out Christmas Eve is our thing. We're not going to visit anybody. We're not going to talk to anybody. We're going to do our thing on Christmas Eve. And so we've set that aside as time just for us. And it's worked great. And people have honored that and recognized, okay, yeah, they've set that out. We know to no longer ask for stuff on Christmas Eve because the answer is going to be no. So, yeah, you can carve out traditions to say, you know what, we're going to relax and do this stuff. And sometimes as a parent, we carve out places for our kids that, you know, might not be so interesting to us. As a parent, we do all sorts of stuff that may not be so much fun, like watching Bob the Builder or something. But to do things that might not be our preference, but is really good for someone else. So personally, I don't like decorating for Christmas. You can call me Scrooge or Grinch or whatever, but I decorate for Christmas because it brings joy to other people. So focusing on how what we do enhances the lives of others can sometimes bring down some of that stress, because the focus isn't on us. It's on how do I make the world better for other people too, and really get joy from that.
And putting the people closest to you at the forefront, right? Making sure that they don't get forgotten in a lot of ways as well. Really recognize, okay, who's most important at this time.
Yeah, and we talked about stress a couple months ago, talking through Kelly McGonigal's book, Why Stress is Good for You and How to Get Good at It. And one of the things that she talks about is using that stress response to enhance relationships. Hmm. So in the stressful times, to turn to each other and hold each other, emotionally hold each other close and build that relationship. And so stress doesn't have to be a thing that drives us apart, but we can use it as a thing to drive us together. That's a tough thing to do, but if you can get to that point, that's a great resource.
Well, and sometimes it is a case of if things are just piling and piling up on the calendar, making sure, like, and making reference to, okay, what truly is the most important? And if honestly, if work is something that, you know, there's a lot of people who, work is work and it's not really all that fun. Well, you know, then cancel and decide to, you know, either take it for yourself or take it for just being able to spend that time, you know, within your own family kind of thing.
Yeah, to spend that time and doing things that give you energy. So the things that you would normally do throughout the other 11 months of the year, the things that you do that bring give you energy, that give you life, to still do those things. Don't give all of that up just because it's Christmas time. For me, like, I go to archery. I try to go to archery every week. I realize I forgot this week. But to continue doing that throughout the Christmas season too, so that you're re-energizing yourself so you can be better for other people as well.
Absolutely. All you ever wanted to know, and heart to heart with David Disty, and for lots of people, it's maybe even the busyness that just keeps them going in a lot of ways too, just because maybe the rest of the year, it just seems like it's such a down period. Sometimes, you know, the stress can be a really great thing, like you say from that book.
You can use stress well.
Use it well, yeah, just to keep busy and just active and it's getting you out of the house. So, I mean, hey, if it's helping, embrace it, take it for all it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Whatever's helping, use it as long as it's a healthy helping.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, using the stress, like we talked about stress a few months ago, athletes use stress to help them do better. And so, yeah, if this busyness is like the stress that an athlete feels before that big game or during that big game, use it in that way to give you that energy, give you that focus, to really help you enjoy the season. That's a great way to use stress too.
Yeah, or just even take it upon, hey, no one thinks I can pull this off. Well, I'll show them in the way, and using it as a way to even set goal and overcome them.
Yeah, and that's kind of what ends up happening to me. I love cooking, and I generally make too many dishes because I enjoy them. I'm like, well, maybe I can squeeze one more in. And that's fun for some people to think, well, Dave, you're crazy to want to cook 12 different dishes at once. But that's the excitement that it brings to me. So I guess that's another point too, that if there's something that brings you stress and you really don't want to do that, don't like doing that, see if there's someone else you can shuffle that off to. Maybe there's someone in your life that's like me and wants to cook that extra stuff but hasn't been given that opportunity.
For your Christmas cooking reservations, give David Disty a call. Oh, wait, sorry. No, we were just talking about the importance of staying close with family too and not putting too much on the plate. But I think what you just alluded to is a really good point. For those that, you know, just they're the complete opposite, where this is just such a hard time of year. Those that are dealing with maybe even an empty house, right?
The loneliness is a really tough thing this time of year. So yeah, tons of people are dealing with whether it be empty nest or they haven't been able to have children. They've been struggling with that and really want to spend this time with children, but they don't have children, or dealing with grief. This is a really, really tough time of year. And so nobody wants to be alone, especially this time of year. So it's important to look around us and say, you know what, if I'm alone, who can I reach out to? And if I'm not alone, who can I reach out to that might be alone as well? So sometimes people sit in their house and think, oh, I don't have family or friends here. I can't do anything. But you know what? There's so many other people out there like you. So reach out to those that might be having a big supper and you can join in. Or reach out to those that you know are lonely too, and you can have a great time together. And if you do have a big gathering already, maybe consider, well, I can add in another plate or two. I can squeeze another couple people in here.
I can't name a single probably household in around the globe, even for that matter, who doesn't have leftovers at the end of a Thanksgiving or Christmas meal. And in that light, it's just exactly it. I mean, come on, we can easily squeeze more people around that table that might not have anywhere else to go.
And I think it's great for us, too, to be able to get to know other people that maybe we haven't gotten to know before. Our church recently had an auction where we auctioned off suppers at other people's homes. And it was a really cool event that I got to know people that maybe I had seen at church before but didn't really know them.
Sure.
And so you get to build relationship around the supper table. And if you open your doors to other people too, then you get to be enriched by other relationships that maybe you hadn't been open to before.
Yeah. Now, on the note as well of like adding chairs, if you will, to the Christmas meal, oftentimes something that can cause an emotional kind of stress on a lot of people is the fact that a chair that's always been saddened by someone is going to be sitting empty this year. The loss of loved ones, that in itself can just weigh so heavy mm-hmm. on a lot of people. And for, I guess, those folks that are approaching maybe this Christmas without a loved one for maybe that first time, what are some things that you, I guess, give as advice to those individuals that can obviously, actually, I'll just let you take it from there. I have things that pop into my head that might be good things to say, but I'll leave it for the counselor, I suppose.
I think awareness, knowledge that this is going to be a tough time is a very important thing. So often people go through and they don't realize that they're coming up on maybe the birthday of that loved one that they've lost, or the anniversary of their death, or a holiday that was important to them. So they come up to this thing like, I don't know why I'm just feeling so anxious or so angry or so depressed. And it's because we're coming up to these anniversaries that are important, and on some level we're aware of it, but maybe not where we don't have it in the front of our mind. So knowing that, you know what, I'm coming up to the first or second or 10th Christmas without this person, and that's going to be an especially hard time. Knowing it ahead of time, that helps, because then we can prepare to say, you know what, maybe we can remember this person in a new way. I remember a number of years back, my grandpa, he was born on Christmas Day and died on Easter. And so the first Christmas after he died, we talked about it beforehand for like a month beforehand. We were saying, well, what do we want to do? And so we ended up having pancakes for Christmas, something that we'd never had before, but it was his favorite meal. Mm. And so it was a remembrance to him. And having a specific way to focus on the grief rather than pretending it's not there, to put on that happy face. Because if we try and put on the happy face when there's grief underneath, it's going to feel so empty. It's not going to be real, and we're still going to be maybe a mess. And it's okay to be a mess, but I think it's good to be a mess on purpose rather than letting it sneak up on us.
Yeah, don't shelve it.
Acknowledge it. There's some really cool research that's happened the last decade around when we're able to physically say what emotion we're experiencing, our heart rate goes down, our blood pressure goes down. So if you shelve it, then our body's still going through it. But if we face it and experience it and let it be there, then it doesn't have as strong of a impact on it.
Mm. On us. Well, and too, just even the benefit it can have for other members of the family mm-hmm. too, who think that they have to be, you know, tucking it away or hiding it. It's one of the things that for myself growing up, I kind of was always in fear that whenever my parents had an argument that, oh man, are they going to get separated, because they seem to always are. The thing I've always looked back and thought was so silly is like, I never saw them in front of me actually make up. Like, they saved it for that conversation mm-hmm. before bed, and, you know, they would go through that argument or discussion, and then all would be fine the next day. I didn't see that as a kid. Mm. So I told them, I kind of wish you had made peace in front of us a little bit more often, because you made us go to bed sometimes thinking,
wondering,
are you going to be okay?
So that's a good point, that it's good to do these things for other people, because if we're feeling the grief or sorrow or anxiety, then odds are other people in the family are too. So to make it explicit, to talk about it is very important. And if we can do something that helps us, odds are pretty good that it's going to help other people in the family too. Mm-hmm. Because we may feel alone in our grief or in our anxiety, but we really never are.
Right.
We're not unique in that way. Everybody goes through that.
Well, and then also too, in that role too, just being able to be open about how I'm feeling can be so powerful that, you know, some people want to go off and find a quiet place to do that. But then also, if, you know, out there in the open, not only just showing family members that, hey, it's okay to be feeling this way as well, but just even the opportunity then for others to be sympathetic or empathetic in that way, it goes such a long way into help with that healing in itself too, or just going through that grief.
There's a real power in going through that grief together. That's why we have funerals, because we need to go through it together. Unfortunately, we usually stop at the funeral, but we need to grieve together as a community long after that funeral. So this Christmas time is a great time to do that.
And just being around others, of course, that are, you know, likewise missing a loved one in that way, like you say, can be really such a broad scope in the ways that we miss them, whether it was, you know, how they acted or what they provided maybe to the meal. Oh, man, someone else is going to have to take that on. Hey, boy, talk about stress kind of thing. If someone was always making the meal and now someone else has to do it, being able to use it in a way to pay tribute, or maybe it's an opportunity to explore something new that, you know what, that was, you know, grandma's thing. Let's try something new in her memory, if you will, too.
Yeah.
Because no one could make a turkey like grandma.
And it's okay to try and make the turkey like grandma, or to do something different. One of the tasks in grief is to build a new normal. So, yeah, you know what? This was the role that grandma played. But what do we do now? So to have that conversation as a family, or to decide yourself, you know what? I do need to figure out what to do differently now. What is the normal? What are the traditions that I want to create now? So I can move from a time of feeling hollow and empty to maybe possibly a sense of anticipation that, you know what, I can create something new here now, new traditions, new things that we can value in this time. So, yeah, there can be some good creativity and good growth there.
And again, these are all just suggestions for the folks out there. And I mean, sometimes it might seem like a very long, hard journey for those. I think what's important, too, is that for someone listening, thinking, hey, you know, every year, the holidays, none of this really kind of kicks in and makes me feel that way. Well, maybe it can allow those really to understand why, you know, you might be so chipper to say Merry Christmas, but maybe not get that response back that you were hoping for. Just being open and to realize, whoa, I had no idea that this time of year could have that other side of the coin.
And I think we've talked mostly about grief and loneliness through death, but I think it's important to recognize that there's all sorts of types of grief that might be affecting people this time of year. Whether it be separation or divorce, or whether it be kids moving away or infertility, tons of different things like this, or even you move away from your family, you take a job in a different city or province and can't get back to see family. There can be grief and loneliness for all these different situations that can be addressed in similar ways to what we've been talking about in grief regarding death.
Well, and just making that intentional effort to really consider these people are going through these harder times. Think about those that maybe you can offer an invitation to, that maybe have no place to go on something, say, like Christmas in that way. Just open the door. But then also recognizing, too, that, hey, the offer is the best thing you can do. If they decline, well, then also, just walk that fine line of, you know, maybe send out a couple reminders, but then again, not pushing that limit, because, I mean, for some, no, that is truly what they would like, is to just to not to be around anyone potentially. That really might be their most desired preference.
Yeah, and to honor that desire of theirs, if that is what they do want or need, then, yeah, maybe offer it to them, but you don't have to push.
All you ever wanted to know, and today, Heart to Heart with David Disty. Again, if you want maybe to book an appointment with David as a registered counselor, you can do so. You can give him a call
at 316-0101.
Or email to?
Yeah, at ddisty@gmail.com. That's ddyste@gmail.com.
All right. We still have a few more minutes here, David. Is there any other forms of maybe stress or anxiety that we haven't really addressed that you'd like to give people some guidance or direction in?
I think there's tons of different ways that stress and anxiety can show up, but being aware of them ahead of time can be one of the most powerful things. So my wife and I recognized a few years into our relationship that anytime we went on vacation, we were going to fight. And we're like, well, why is this? And so we figured out that anytime we were getting ready to leave, it was usually the worst day of the vacation because we were so stressed. So we began to make light of it, that, you know what, yeah, tomorrow we're going on vacation means that tonight's going to be a testy time. So anytime that we feel the tensions rising, we go, oh man, it's just because we're going on vacation again. And we can kind of have a little laugh about it. So being aware of the stress that's coming or the conflict that's coming can kind of help you be in a better frame of mind to have compassion for one another. And I think compassion is one of the big keys to going through the holidays well.
Well, like we said, opening up that communication to that, here comes this time that can be stressful, or just being able to offer that little bit of grace that, you know, if someone, like you say, going back to that finances, if one's a little bit more carefree, one's a bit more conservative, you know, offering that bit of grace, forgiveness, or, you know, whatever it may be, just knowing that, all right, work within myself. I'm not going to get too upset recognizing that, hey, you know.
And to focus on meeting each other's goals too, rather than just, I need to meet my goal. Well, what is my partner's goal and how can I help meet that goal for them?
Oh, sure.
That can help.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, Heart to Heart with David Disty. If people have questions, either for us, you can call us in these final minutes here, 783-5160, or you can reach out to David again, 306-316-0101.
Yep.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And a couple more minutes here. Anything further?
I just want to kind of reemphasize the compassion for yourself and for others, that, you know what, it's going to be a tough time and that's okay. You don't need to make everything perfect for yourself or try and make other people perfect for you. So compassion for yourself and for others is, I think, the cornerstone here.
Who cares if that wrapping paper has a weird corner? I mean,
if I wrap it, it's guaranteed to have a weird corner.
Is it covered? They can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
Good with me.
Mm-hmm.
That turkey is slightly overdone. I mean, are people really going to say anything about that? Come on. It's about the people, not the presents, not the food.
Doesn't have to be the perfect present.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, again, David, thanks so much as always. It's great to have these chats with
you. Thank you, Jordan.
And, we look forward to our next chat late December where, well, the new year presents its sole opportunity for some great opportunities for folks, whether it's time for a restart or anything along those lines. But, again, that'll be our chat for another day. On All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. Stay tuned. The Yorkton Rottecmahler Coaches Show is on the way after this. All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. And Heart to Heart, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.